Mr. Carter, Reel 7. The barrack rooms, Mr. Carter, that we've touched upon but haven't talked a great deal about, how did they differ from those that you had in England?
Well, the barrack room at Meerut was a very tall building. As I said, I think it was for elephants, I'm not sure. But the centre was very high, and it sloped at each side, so you had like four rows of beds with openings into each department, you see. At the end was a bunks where a sergeant would sleep, or there would be a storeman with his stores. Now the beds, it's not known very well, but the British Army in India slept on coir, which has now become very popular with gardens. And the beds didn't pull out, the iron beds, they didn't pull out. The first thing on the bed was a thing called the blue derry. It was like a mat, it was blue. And your name and numbers was stenciled on the bottom. And you used that to wrap your bedding up wherever you moved. You had three biscuits, what we call biscuits, filled with coir. You had two cotton sheets, and I think two blankets. Well, during hot weather, you didn't need nothing more than a sheet, right? Sometimes you just didn't need a sheet in hot weather. But, as I said, the coir, after you'd laid on it for, say, 6 weeks or a month, it began to get hardened. So you took your three biscuits out onto the veranda, you emptied the coir out, and you had what you call a coir bashing day. You teased it, you pulled it to bits, and it became a big heap then, and you thought, to yourself, oh, well, am I going to get it all back into these biscuits? But it was comfortable to lay on after that, and also when you made your bed up, it looked better because it was all square. Your bed was laid out with your best boots on the end, your best topi was on the blankets above, you had a brass plate above you with your regimental number and name and your regimental crest. That was for the army officer coming round and checking who was there. The Durhams used these brass plates when they went camping to tie around their blue derries, which was different to ours, like, because ours was stencil. We didn't take our brass plates. Behind the bed, you hung up your khaki, that was your khaki tunic and top coat. You had your web equipment with your swagger stick through to make it square. And your pack was up on a above on a shelf.
Did you lay your equipment for inspection and so forth in the way that you had done in England, in a similar fashion?
Well, we had extra. We had the leather equipment. Our webbing equipment was up there till we went on training. And that was in the cooler weather. But for guard duty, you had a leather belt with pouches, a leather frog, and a leather rifle sling. These you used mostly for guard duties and church parades and big parades like that. As I say, webbing equipment was used on training normally.
But there were a great deal of inspections of your billets and your beds.
Oh yes, there were all those inspections. Like, you have to keep it nice and clean and sweep it out. And
did you suffer from bed bugs? Did they appear?
Ah, you mentioned bed bugs. We were very lucky in Meerut, no bed bugs. But I'll tell you later about bedrooms.
Was there sufficient space between the beds? You weren't crowded in this billet.
No, it was like two together and then a space where you walk through to the veranda, you see. Well, it was well spaced.
You were in India and it was quite hot, and a long hot season. Did that have any effect upon the relationships between yourselves? Did the heat get to you and cause problems?
Oh, no, we got a lot of prickly heat.
But tempers and this kind of thing didn't come up?
No, there was no bad tempers about it.
The older men that you would obviously meet when you got there, who'd been out for some time, did they treat you younger ones, the inexperienced ones, well? Were you well treated?
Well, there was one, I'll always remember one. We'd just had a draft come out, and of course one was mourning his bucket like, and he was saying about going home and this and the other, and this old soldier was due to go home. And it would be about 1936 when the Queen Mary was launched. And I remember him saying he was fed up with this young kid mourning on, and he said, you'll go home when the Queen Mary's a troop ship. Little thinking that I would go home when the Queen Mary was a troop ship. I always remember that.
Barracroom humour, did that surface at all?
Yes, it was quite a, well, the Geordies are naughty for the humour, the life of Geordies. But there's one thing I forgot to tell you. A pastime we had. When I first went out, they were doing these, they used to go down the bazaar, and they buy these hunks of silk, we call them yanks of silk. And they made a frame with nails, say half an inch right round, and they made these bedspreads and table things, you know. Put many an hour in making, they made some wonderful things. I've never seen it done before, like. And I made some, and I gave them to a bloke who was going home. He promised to take them to my house, but we never got them. Also, the first thing down the bazaar I forgot to mention is, you went down the bazaar and you bought a tin trunk, because you had a lot of kit. You had KD and underclothes and you put it in this tin trunk under the bed. Everyone had a tin trunk, besides the wooden box at the front where you put your bayonet and your cleaning tackle and your magazine for your rifle in.
Can we look briefly at the officers? Their accommodation would be more sumptuous as compared with yours, was it?
We never saw it, but oh yes, that would be up to date then. Right. Married families, it depended on the rank they were in. A lot of snobbery. No, he's only a private's wife, or he's only a lance cobbler's wife. There's all that snobbery, you see. But Colonel, he was an old soldier. His nickname was Bobby Ramsden. His adjutant was Captain Ainsley. He was known as Billy the Pig. He was killed on the frontier and is buried in Banu. The RSM was a guardsman, and he was called the Flying Fiend. Chalky Whites were always Chalky Whites. Carters were always Nick Carter. And there were a few nicknames that was went through.
What was the reason behind the nicknames for those officers that you mentioned?
I don't know. For Baggy Ramsden, whether it was for bagging people or what, I don't know. But Billy the Pig, nobody liked him.
What was kind of thing did he do to cause that kind of dislike?
He was adjutant, and I don't think anybody liked him. I met an old soldier who'd been when he finished adjutant, he went into A Company, And I said to this mate of mine, I said, you've got a good officer now, like? That was up on the frontier, and he said, no, he's still Billy the Pig.
Has it been too strict, too regimental?
That's right, yes. Oh, we had a Forbes. I think he come from Middlesbrough. Well, Forbes are bread people, aren't they? Well, he became a messing officer. So, of course, his nickname was Rudy Forbes.
So you found nicknames for most of them, not all of them?
Oh, I've got nicknames, yes, most of them.
You mentioned the snobbery element in the regiment. It was pretty strong, was it? You were very much aware of it.
Well, not a lot. Like, married quarters, I think it would be in there a lot. But later on, I got among the married families later on. But you didn't see much of the married families. Only you saw them when they came to the cinema.
Where were they accommodated?
In married family, married quarters.
Were they houses or bungalows or what?
No, bungalows.
And that was within the cantonment?
In the cantonment, well away from the troops.
And presumably out of bounds too?
Oh yes, you had to have a pass. I know there was a brother who was married. He was a quartermaster. And his brother was in my company. If he wanted to go and visit his other brother, he had to have a pass signed by the officer.
Was there a guard on this area so that you couldn't get through?
No guard. There was always regimental police around, you see.
What kind of service and rank did you have to have your family with you? Or was every man entitled who was married entitled to have his wife and children with him?
No, there was only a certain quota. And they had to be 26 at least, 26 years of age. And if you got to that quota, well, you couldn't bring your wife over. There was a vacancy. I know there was one lad, he got a girl in trouble in Portland, and he was on half pay for a long time, only 10 shilling, you know. He couldn't have brought her around. It was nowhere near 26 years old.
Did you have to have army permission to marry?
Yes. It was said, like, to get posted away, if you got on with one of these, what we call half-castes, you know, Anglo-Indians, it was the quickest way of getting posted away. That all altered during the war.
Did you come across civilian people? British civilians, I'm talking about. White civilians.
No, not in Mira, no. No, very little civilians around there. We had a Salvation Army hospital, they could go there. And I always regret that paper, like a news item, always laid out. And at the back of it was all the names of the regiments and corps that were stationed all over the world. I always regretted I never kept one of them, because you knew where every regiment was.
The leisure activities that you were able to have, can we look at the sporting side of it? Was there a great deal of sport again?
Oh yes, football was very popular, hockey. And of course, the sea always cricket mad. We had a good football team, we always turned out to watch them. And boxing, there was a good boxing team as well. Oh, there was plenty of sport out there.
And this was between the various units in the area, was it?
Oh, yes, all over India, more or less, as they worked themselves up. If we got
the championships of one kind or another.
Yes.
Did it include playing against Indian teams?
No. I don't think we prayed against the military. We prayed against local garrisons. And that. Of course, Thursday was a holiday, you know. Thursday.
You were off all day Thursday?
Unless you were on guard, it was your day off. I once, the RSM and sergeants, they went shooting and they wanted beaters, so I volunteered to go with them. And the RSM gave us a peafowl. He said, take that to the cookhouse and get it. Tell them to cook it for you. It was just like turkey, you know. But they had to be careful shooting them, because if the Indians caught them, there would be trouble.
Why was this?
They classed as a...
protected?
Protected birds, if you like that, you see.
The officers, what kind of leisure and did they get up to?
Oh, they went pig shooting, pig killing, and, you know, and riding, they were always riding. They could always borrow horses off the 17th, 21st Lancers, the Death and Glory boys, you know. They were all right for the horses that way.
And presumably this was, again, a leisure activity you couldn't get involved in.
Oh, no, no. They had balls and dances and all that. We rarely had an all-ranks dance, you know. If there was, there wasn't enough women. Not in near it.
On a Thursday, what, other than the sporting side of it, what else might you be? Might you do?
Well, just ordinary duties.
This was your day off, unless you were on duty.
Yes.
You mentioned going to the bazaar. Was that quite safe to do that?
There was yes, you go down the bazaar, yes, and buy things you want to.
Yeah. Did you learn the experience of bargaining and bartering?
Oh yes, we soon learned that. And another thing you had to watch was the rupees. There were a lot of counterfeiting. I mean, some were obviously made of lead, and if you got any change and you were doubtful, you rung it on a stone. Especially with the child, Well, when he came, he sat on the veranda, and if he gave you change and you looked at your rupee, you'd run on the stone. It had a different ring, you see, and you would refuse it. Sometimes you got caught with one if you wasn't careful.
Could you move around on your own?
Yes.
There was no problems of... Was the bazaar in the cantonment or outside it?
It was in the cantonment.
So it must have been quite a size, quite an area it covered.
It was quite a size, yes. Well, the cantonment was a big one. Really. I mean, you had three regiments there, so you had the 17th, 21st, Greenhills, and the IRA.
And within that area, you had basically everything that you wanted and needed.
That's right, everything you needed in that area. Oh, you didn't venture into the city. Man, we did once or two times.
While you were at Meerut?
No, not at Meerut.
Oh, we'll come to that later. What were the favourite buys of the British troops at the bazaar?
Well, just buying these tin trunks and maybe underclothing, you know, a vest, cotton vest, your pants were on, everything like that.
Were you ever allowed to go out in your civilian clothes?
No. In England, you had to have 12 months before you got a pass in civilians, but out there, a private couldn't go out into civilians, but it did come, apparently.
Did you buy things to send home to your parents or loved ones?
No, I just sent photographs mostly there. And sometimes send money home.
Can we look at punishments? Did they differ out in India to what the kind of punishments that it had in England for various misdemeanors? I'm thinking in particular with the heat of the day. So were there any different, harsher punishments for people who did wrong?
No, they still got the same punishment. I'm certain that the guard room and doing fatigues and that. I know one lad, he had to go out and he was digging and he was red raw when he come back.
So the usual kind of punishment, but of course the heat of the day was there if you were outside doing it.
Yes.
Was there any form of punishment in the British Army between the two wars of a harsh type? I'm thinking in particular of lashings and that kind of thing, beatings.
No.
Desertions, did anyone desert?
No, I had to desert too.
And you mentioned that the city was out of bounds to you, basically.
Yes.
You also mentioned regimental police. They would be formed from your own regiment, obviously.
That's right.
What were they like? On what was the criteria for choosing a man for the regimental police?
Well, actually, one was a boxer. He came from West Hartford. Now they said his name was Harper, and they said he was related to Jack London. Now I saw a photo of Jack London down in Blackpool. He has a club there. I thought, well, he's fitting the image of this Harper. Well, Harpers and London were together. Well, he was one of the policemen. Yes.
Did they tend to be men who were tough and hard?
No, they did the duty, that was all.
How did the rest of the men view the regimental police?
I don't think there was any interview, like when you were there, they were there to do the duty. They just mostly took defaulters, you know, put them on jobs, and marched them here and there to
Was VD part of the problems of serving in India?
VD, yes. There was a Lance Corporal Corbett, and of course he lost his stripe and he lost his pair. And if you got VD, well, you lost your pair and you won't, you just as not. For active service, you see, then. I'm very strict of CO on that. Of course, other regiments had these brothels, but we never had one.
That's other British regiments had their own brothels. You'd obviously would be warned about the dangers of going with Indian women, were you?
Oh, yes. That was dangerous, right? But still went. At one time, you made an order that you had to carry a condom with you. when you came back, you showed your condom, or if you didn't show your condom, you had to go to the MI room and use the facilities there.
So there was a treatment room for
yes,
people who could be classified as possibly catching VD.
Yes, yes.
It must have been difficult, though, for young men, healthy young men in a climate that like that, and not to have women and ladies around them. The officers presumably had a little bit easier time.
Oh, yes,
right. Having more access to the ladies of the area.
That's right. Yes.
But the men must have found it, or some of the men must have found it extremely difficult.
They would do, yes.
And how was that catered for? Did they have to risk going out of bounds to get to a lady?
Well, there's always some lurking about around the barracks, you know. So you went on leave to say, a big place like the hall, or same as I did.
So you got your leaves in India?
You, if you've been there 6 years, you could put your name down for come home for 6 months after 6 years. But the catch was you had to sign on again for 12 years.
So it was a carrot?
That was a carrot, yes. Because we came out and there was two landscapers and they were big fine lads. And they'd been band boys and they'd done their 6 years and they were taking us back. And we cruised them all the way over, like what was happening. So I thought, they look very well, if we look as well as them after our 6 years, we'd be all right.
In between that period of getting leave in England, you had local leave, did you?
You could apply for a month's leave.
And where would you be, would you go to for that month or X weeks that you went off?
Well, I would go to the Salvation Army Oxford, which I did on a couple of times.
Was this in Meerut?
No.
After you left there?
I didn't go, I didn't have any leaves in Meerut, not at all.
Was there not a leave station somewhere in the better climate area for soldiers on leave?
Well, when you went up the hills, that was more or less like your leave. It was just more or less nice and cool and you passed there.
We've mentioned one or two of the officers already. The battalion commander, what was he actually like as a man to serve under?
Well, he was very strict in a way. He run his regiment, as I say, with his RSM. They were very strict and it was a very good regiment out there for drilling, you know, smartness. And he was pretty fair. I remember once I was guard orderly, and that at the morning you had to go around the barrack rooms waking the orderly sergeant up of each company. And I know I went to this here company and I went into his bunk and shook him like, and he mumbled something like. And evidently he didn't get up, so I was ordered to get in my best uniform, and I was for orderly room for evidence against him. And I spoke to him and I said, yes, I went to wake him up, and he answered me, and I said, I don't think he had any intention of getting up. I shouldn't have said that, right, but I got away with it. And I always dreaded that if I went on guard and he was guard commander, he'd have it in for me, but he didn't. He got a severe rep, that was all.
What were the other NCOs like that you came across?
Oh, quite good, yes.
Any that stand out in your memory?
Not at Meerut, no.
Your company commander, you were in C Company, I think. Who was he?
He was a double barrel man, Greenwood,
What was he like?
I didn't like him. No.
Any particular reason?
Well, not. He didn't seem to mix in with the men much.